All right, buckle up, everybody, for a deep dive into the fascinating world of butterfly wings.
Oh, I love this topic.
Me too. You guys sent in some really cool research.
Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, and today we're going to be uncovering the secrets behind their evolution, their adaptations,
Those brilliant
the
colors.
colors, the patterns, the whole
I
shebang.
know, it's just incredible how these delicate structures
Yeah.
can tell us so much about the forces of nature and evolution at work.
Yeah, they really are like a storybook of survival,
They are.
each wing. So for this deep dive, we are focusing on a research paper.
Okay.
It's got a long title, so bear with me.
Right.
Large-scale spatial variation and phenotypic integration in three
Three.
Arginini species inform about functions and evolutionary drivers of butterfly wings.
Wow, they pack it all in there.
I know, right?
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Oh,
But we're going to break it down
yeah.
into kind of bite-sized pieces for everyone.
And we're going to play detective a little bit
Yeah.
using the clues from this research
Okay, love that. Detective story with
to
butterflies.
understand how these butterflies have evolved
Yeah.
to thrive in their environments.
I love it. Okay, first up, let's meet our suspects.
Okay.
The study looks at three closely related fritillary butterflies:
Fritillary, okay.
Spiaria aglaja,
Spiaria glauca.
Fabriciana dippei,
Okay.
and Fabriciana niobe.
Bob, got it.
They all have that classic checkered wing pattern,
Right.
and they live in kind of overlapping areas,
Okay.
but they each have their own kind of like preferences
Okay.
when it comes to habitat and how much they move around.
It's amazing, isn't it, how even closely related species
Yeah.
can have such different lifestyles and carve out their own niche in the environment.
Totally. And that's kind of where the plot thickens. So the researchers found something really surprising.
Okay.
These three butterflies, despite being genetically distinct,
Okay.
are basically indistinguishable based on their wings.
What? Yeah, that's a head scratcher.
Isn't that wild?
It really suggests that the environment plays a huge role in shaping their traits,
Huge.
even if their DNA is different.
So it's like they're all wearing the same disguise, even
Yeah.
though they come from different
I
families.
like that, yeah.
Okay, so let's start with a really classic wing characteristic: size.
Okay, wing size.
Wing size, you'd think it's pretty straightforward,
Right.
but it turns out that wing size is influenced by
A lot of factors.
all sorts of things.
Absolutely. And one of the things that they found was that
Yeah.
Spiaria aglaia from Morocco
Okay.
and Fabriciana ette from the Iberian Peninsula tend to be larger than those found elsewhere.
Interesting.
And the researchers think this might be because
Yeah.
these regions acted as glacial refugia during the last ice age.
Oh, wow. Okay. So even a little geographic isolation can have a
Right.
big impact on how they evolve over time.
Right. Imagine these areas like isolated islands
Yeah.
where the butterflies evolved kind of in their own unique way.
So cool. Like evolution on a smaller scale.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
And they also uncovered a connection between altitude and wing size.
Oh, huh?
So, Fabriciana dippei,
Yeah.
living higher up in the mountains,
Okay.
have larger wings,
Interesting.
especially their forewings.
Okay.
And it's likely that this is an adaptation to help them stay warm
Oh, that makes sense.
in colder temperatures.
So the larger wings help them get more heat.
Exactly, yeah. A bigger surface area
Yeah.
to soak up that precious sunlight.
So next time I see a butterfly basking in the sun, I'll be thinking of their wings as tiny little solar panels.
It's a great analogy. And it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
So, Spiaria glauca,
Yeah.
they also show this pattern of having larger forewings at higher altitudes.
Okay.
But their hindwings don't follow the same trend.
Interesting.
And so, hindwings aren't totally essential for flight. But those forewings,
They're the real workhorses.
yeah, they're the ones that provide that lift and thrust.
Exactly.
So it seems like those forewings are doing double duty,
It is.
helping them both fly and stay warm in those
Absolutely.
chilly mountain habitats.
And that brings us to the colors and patterns on the wings.
Okay, yeah. The research dives into
Yeah.
melanism,
Yeah.
which is how dark their wings are.
Right. And melanism is a great example of how a trait
Yeah.
that seems simple can
Yeah.
actually be affected by all sorts of different
Right.
environmental pressures.
Yeah.
And so what they found is that for all three species, their dorsal wings,
Okay.
the ones that are exposed to the sunlight,
Right.
are darker than their ventral wings.
Interesting. So it's like they're wearing a black t-shirt on a
Exactly.
sunny day,
Yeah. to absorb more heat.
Makes sense, especially in those higher altitude areas.
Right.
It's colder.
Exactly. You got it. And the study goes even deeper. And it shows that
Spiraea aglaja have more melanism in areas with less solar radiation.
Okay.
Whereas Fabriciano Niobe
yeah.
show that same pattern in places with lower temperatures.
Interesting. So even subtle differences in climate
yeah.
can lead to these variations in wing color.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like evolution is fine-tuning their wardrobes to match the weather.
I love that.
Yeah.
But wait, didn't we say that there's a twist?
Yes. There are a few surprises.
Yeah. Tell me about the seemingly contradictory stuff.
Right. And they highlight how melanin isn't just about temperature.
Okay.
It turns out that Spiraea aglaja.
Yeah.
actually get darker in warmer, lower latitude areas.
Oh, so they get darker where it's warmer?
Yeah.
I thought darker wings were for colder climates.
Well, it turns out that melanin isn't just good for absorbing heat.
Uh-huh.
It can also protect against things like
oh.
pathogens and UV radiation.
Okay.
And those yeah. things tend to be more common in warmer areas.
Yeah, makes sense. So it's like their wings are pulling double duty again.
They are.
They're helping them stay warm and stay protected.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's amazing how like something as simple as wing color
yeah.
can have so many layers of function.
It really is. It highlights the complexity of adaptation.
Yeah, it really does.
And speaking of color.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears and look at some of those lighter shades.
Okay, let's do it.
Like white and green.
I'm picturing those vibrant green butterflies flitting through a meadow. I'm ready.
So let's talk about white coloration. The research actually found that Spiraea aglaja
okay.
have more white scales
yeah.
on their wings
okay.
the farther north they live.
So the butterflies up north are rocking the white accents.
They are, and there's a reason for that.
Okay, yeah. What's the evolutionary advantage?
Well, think about what's more common in northern latitudes.
Forests,
exactly.
Not trees.
And so those white scales might actually be helping them blend in better.
Oh.
In those shadowy,
yeah.
dappled environments.
So it's like their own natural form of camouflage
yeah.
using those white scales.
And it gets even cooler.
Okay.
Fabriciana adipe actually has a silvery white spotted form.
Wow.
Called Fabriciana adipe, F. adipe.
Okay.
And yeah. guess what? It's more common in the north too.
No way. So they're both using this white coloration trick
yeah,
to survive.
Exactly. Now let's switch gears and talk about green coloration.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which is not as common as white or brown, but it's still a fascinating adaptation.
Yeah.
So in Spiraea aglaja,
okay.
there's a link
yeah.
between green coloration okay. and wing size.
Oh, interesting.
And so the larger the butterfly,
yeah.
the more green pigment they have.
Hmm. But wouldn't a bigger butterfly be easier for predators to spot?
You would think so.
So it seems kind of counterintuitive.
It does. But remember, Spiraea aglaja are often found in open grasslands.
Okay.
So the researchers think that green coloration,
yeah.
even on a larger butterfly,
yeah.
could be helping them camouflage.
Interesting.
When they're resting on vegetation.
Like disguised as a leaf.
Exactly.
Even though they're much bigger.
Yeah.
Clever. What about Fabriciana adipe?
They also use green coloration.
Okay.
And what they found was yeah. that the paler Fabriciana adipe individuals
okay.
actually have more green pigment.
Oh, interesting.
Suggesting that they might be adapted
mm-hmm.
to those open grassy areas as well.
Makes sense.
And that makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because those darker individuals with less green
yeah.
are probably better suited to mm-hmm. those shady woodland habitats
yeah.
where they need to absorb
right.
as much heat as possible.
So different color palettes depending on their preferred habitat. It's like fashion meets evolution.
I love that.
Right.
Yeah. And all of these adaptations
yeah.
bring us to another important concept. Phenotypic integration.
Phenotypic integration.
Phenotypic integration. Okay. Remind me what that is again.
So phenotypic integration.
Yeah.
It's this idea that
yeah.
that different traits
uh-huh.
like wing size and color
uh-huh.
aren't just evolving independently.
Okay.
They're actually linked. They're working together
yeah.
as a package deal.
So it's like certain traits go together because
yeah.
they're giving that butterfly a survival advantage.
Right. Right.
In their environment.
And what they found was that in all three species,
okay.
forewing and hindwing length,
uh-huh.
along with those different aspects of melanism,
okay.
are correlated.
Okay.
And this is probably due to shared genes or
yeah.
similar environmental pressures.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think we said earlier there are some species-specific differences, too.
You're right. So, for example, in Spiraea aglaja,
mm-hmm.
wing length and melanism are positively correlated.
Okay.
So the bigger they are,
yeah, darker they are.
Interesting.
And that's not seen in the other two species.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be
yeah.
one of the reasons why
yeah.
Speria aglaja are so good at surviving
yeah.
in colder environments.
Right.
Because those bigger, darker wings
yeah.
help them stay warm.
Okay.
And maybe even fly better in those challenging conditions.
So their unique trait combination is giving them a leg up in the cold.
Absolutely.
And I bet that's also why they can tolerate lower breeding temperatures
yes.
and live farther north than the other two species.
You got it. Now contrast that with Fabriciana adip.
Okay.
They have a positive correlation
uh-huh.
between wing size
okay.
and those white scales.
Yeah.
And that's probably perfect for those forest habitats.
Yeah, where those bigger wings can catch more sunlight
right.
and the white scales help them stay hidden.
Exactly.
Wow. It's amazing how these subtle differences in how those traits are linked.
It is.
Can really affect their lifestyles and how they've evolved.
It really is.
So we've talked a lot about how these traits are shaped by the environment.
Yes.
But what about their genes?
Oh, yeah, the genes.
Where do those come into play?
That's a great question. And actually, the study found some really interesting links
okay.
between those visible traits, the environment,
yeah.
and the butterfly's genes.
Okay, so let's dive into that. I'm curious to see how all those pieces fit together. Okay, so let's dive into that. I'm curious to see how all those pieces fit together.
Okay, so the study found that for Speria aglaja and Fabriciana adip,
uh-huh.
the environmental factors driving those wing variations mm. are really closely tied to their genetic structure.
Okay, so remind me, what is genetic structure?
So think of it as like a map
okay.
of their evolutionary history,
okay.
showing how genetic variation
yeah.
is distributed like within and between different okay. populations.
Yeah.
So finding a link between wing traits
yeah.
and genetic structure means that those advantageous wing adaptations
yeah.
aren't just being passed down through generations.
Uh-huh.
They're actually leaving a unique mark
wow.
on the species overall genetic makeup.
So it's like those successful wing traits are
yeah.
becoming woven into the very fabric of their DNA.
That's a great way to put it.
That's pretty cool.
And it makes sense when you consider, I mean,
yeah.
how important those wing traits are.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, wing size, especially the length of those forewings,
mm-hmm.
crucial for flight, dispersal,
right.
and even regulating body temperature.
And we talked about how melanism is like a multi-tool
yes.
for survival.
Absolutely. It helps them stay warm,
mm-hmm.
protects them from the sun,
yeah.
wards off pathogens. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so this connection between wing traits and genetic structure
yeah.
was especially strong
okay.
in Speria aglaja and Fabriciana adip,
okay.
suggesting that these species
yeah.
have undergone a lot of local adaptation, you know, fine-tuning their wing traits
uh-huh.
to perfectly match their specific environments.
So evolution has sculpted their wings
yeah.
to thrive in their own little corner of the world.
I like that.
But what about Fabriciana niobe?
Right.
Didn't we say that they rely more on plasticity?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
That ability to
right.
to adjust their traits during their lifetime.
Yeah. So does that mean that their wing traits aren't linked to their genetic structure?
It's not quite that simple.
Okay.
So while the link wasn't as strong
okay.
to Fabriciana niobe,
okay.
the study did find a significant association
okay.
between melanism and their genetic structure,
yeah.
suggesting that that even traits that are influenced
yeah.
by plasticity
okay.
can eventually leave their mark
oh,
on a species' genes.
Wait, so you're saying that those on-the-fly adjustments
yeah, yeah.
could actually influence their evolution over time?
Exactly.
That's wild.
So imagine a population of Fabriciana niobe.
Okay.
And they're constantly adjusting their melanism levels
mm-hmm.
to cope with like fluctuating temperatures.
Right, right.
And over many, many generations,
mm-hmm.
those repeated adjustments
yeah.
could actually lead to like subtle shifts in their genes.
Okay.
Eventually becoming part of their genetic structure.
So it's like those little adjustments that they're making during their lifetime
yeah.
are shaping the future of their species.
They are.
That's so cool.
It really shows how interconnected everything is.
Yeah, it really does.
And it's just one of the many exciting avenues for future research.
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine the things we could learn
yeah.
by exploring how these patterns differ
yeah.
you know, in butterfly species around the world,
right,
or by delving even deeper
yeah.
into the genetic mechanisms behind these adaptations.
It's incredible. Well, this has been a real eye-opening deep dive
it has.
Into the world of butterfly wings.
It really has.
I mean, who knew there was so much complexity and wonder
yeah.
hidden in those delicate structures?
It's a reminder that that there's always something new to discover.
Absolutely.
Even in the seemingly ordinary.
Well said. This deep dive has been such a treat. It's left me with a sense of awe for the power of evolution and
yeah.
a renewed appreciation for those fluttering wonders.
Those fluttering wonders.
That we call butterflies.
Yes.
So to our listeners, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop marveling at the natural world. You never know what secrets you might uncover.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us.